24 through 28. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today as you're turning there. The word of the Lord says in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only that the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he has come, helped them much with which they had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly shown by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." He mightily convinced the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And for a few moments today, I'd like to speak on the title of "When Halfway Is Not Enough." When halfway is not enough. Charles Swindoll asks the following questions in one of his books. He said, "Who taught Martin Luther his theology and inspired his translation of the New Testament? Who visited Dwight L. Moody at the shoe store and spoke to him about Jesus Christ? Who was the elderly woman who prayed faithfully for Billy Graham for over 20 years? Who financed William Carey's ministry to India? Who helped Charles Wesley to get underway as a composer of hymns? Who personally taught G. Campbell Morgan, the peerless expositors, his techniques from the pulpit?" You probably don't know the name of any one of those people. Swindoll will go on to write, "Had it not been for these unknown people, those nobodies, a large chunk of the church history would be missing, would be unknown, and a lot of lives would be untouched, unreached. But there were people just like you and just like me, and God used them mightily to encourage and to empower with results that would forever change the church." Can we pray this morning? Father God, we come to you right now at the time that we need you most, at the time that your word is being spoken, Lord Jesus. We need you to help us to glean in our hearts and in our lives and in our spirits and in our minds what your word has to say. We need your help, Holy Spirit, today to understand what you're laying before us today, to help our minds to grasp it, to help our minds not focus on what's going on in our life today, in our world today, but focus on what's going on in your word today, Lord Jesus. Help us to understand. Help us to seek. Help our minds to be focused on what you've laid out before us today. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Kay, did you start the CD? Did you? Okay, thank you. Luke would go on writing the book of Acts, and he would go on and he would continue to tell us about the acts of the apostles, but things would change at this point. There would be a slight intermission at this point. And as we saw last week, it was too early to quit for the Apostle Paul. Remember that the Apostle Paul found himself in Corinth, and he was overwhelmed about the immorality of the city and about the job that he had before him. He was overwhelmed with the fact that he had no money and he had no place to stay. But we also saw that God did not leave him helpless, that God sent his friends on before him, that God had already placed people in the city for the Apostle Paul to find and seek out, that God was sending finances to him to continue his ministry. Right now we leave Paul as he goes off to his missionary trip to Jerusalem to fulfill the vow that he made to the Lord. And this in reality is the end of his second missionary journey that we have here. But before Luke would go on writing the book of Acts, he gives this intermission, this addendum here, and he tells us about this man named Apollos. He introduces us to this man named Apollos who we would find later in the New Testament. In verse 24, we're introduced to him where it says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus." He introduces us to Apollos, this man from Alexandria. And Alexandria in that time was the second largest city in the Roman Empire. Alexandria was noted for its culture, for its education. You might be familiar with the library at Alexandria. This was a library that controlled, that contained more than 700,000 different scrolls at the time, and it was lost to fire at some point in history. But at this time, in Paul's day and Apollos' day, this was the place of education. This was the place where you would go to learn. If you needed to find something out, that was, you would go there, you would go to the library. It wasn't like today where we could go to every city and we could find a library, or better yet, we could simply pull up Google and type in something and pull something up. They had to travel to this place to find that. And this is where we find this man named Apollos. And this man, Apollos, he was an educated man. Of course, he was there in the city of education. He had the equivalent of what we would call today as an advanced degree, a university, a graduate degree. We might say that he had the credentials of a master's degree or maybe a doctorate in something. He was an educated man. But he was also an eloquent man. And you might say, well, that eloquent man, I don't understand maybe what that exactly means. Well, in the Greek, that word elegant, the word is logios, and it means to be fluent, to be a good speaker, to be able to get up and to give eloquent speaking, to talk, to move people by his words. And that's what the Bible says that he has. He was well-versed in the Old Testament, and he, excuse me, was going on to find out about Jesus Christ. That's where we find Apollos speaking in the synagogue, an educated man in this city. We know that he was very educated, but we know that his education was not enough. You see, he needed Jesus Christ. He knew the Old Testament. He had heard a little bit about Jesus Christ, but his education was about to increase. And I believe in my mind and in my spirit that this was the Holy Spirit's plan. You see, a seed had been planted somewhere in Apollos. I don't know how, and the scriptures don't tell us how, and the scholars don't comment on how, but somewhere a seed had been planted in Apollos for Jesus Christ. And he was now, with the information that he had, speaking boldly about him. He would go on to become a great pastor, to become a great leader in the New Testament, so much so that the Apostle Paul would have high esteem for him, that he would mention him in 1 Corinthians, that he would mention him later in Acts, and he would mention him in Titus, that all in a positive sense of who Apollos was and the message that he had received. Verse 25 says that he was fervent in spirit. It says this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. Apollos was excited about the things that he knew about Jesus Christ, about the little bit of light that he had. He was excited. It literally means that he was burning or boiling hot for the things that he knew about Jesus Christ. The verse says that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, though he only knew about the baptism of John. So he had been instructed, but not fully instructed. Let me paint the picture for you a little bit. Maybe you played an instrument in your life, and you would go in, and maybe you were in school, and you picked up that instrument, and on the first day of class, the first week of class, they taught you how to play that instrument, whatever that instrument was, and you knew a little bit enough. You knew enough about that instrument to pick it up and to be able to sit down and look like you were doing the right thing, to hold it the correct way. You kind of knew where things were at. You knew enough to talk about that instrument. That's the reasoning. That's the knowledge that Apollos had about Jesus Christ. He knew enough to talk around it, to talk about it, but the Holy Spirit was about to intervene in his life. Jesus Christ was about to become real to him, to become a known thing. It was about to be illuminated in his life. His knowledge was proficient in the Old Testament, but it was lacking in respecting Jesus Christ and the grace that he brings. It was lacking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as he only knew about John the Baptist. However, and whatever he learned about Jesus, again, the scholars, they do not tell us, but there was a deficit there, and the Holy Spirit was about to fill it. In other words, they told him, whoever talked to him, told them all they knew. They gave him all the light that they had, and that light, that little bit of light, was enough. And that tells us a few things. That tells us, number one, the light of Jesus Christ shines very bright. Amen. Just a little bit of Jesus Christ will change a human's heart. Just a little bit of Jesus Christ will begin to pull someone in. And that's exactly what had happened to Apollos. But it also tells us, number two, that wherever there's a little bit of light of Jesus Christ, there's so much more that needs to be had. That we're never going to know everything that we know, that we need to know about Jesus Christ until the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate him in our heart and in our lives. Consequently, he was so excited about this partial knowledge of God that he began to speak in the synagogues about him little by little, and this joy would come up. But in respects to that joy was about to be greatly increased because the Holy Spirit was about to do a work in his life. If you'll remember back when you first became a Christian, when you first accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the joy that you had, the peace that you had in your life. But then if you remember when the Holy Spirit opened up the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified to you, the great joy that filled your life anymore, the freedom that you had, that's what's getting ready to happen in the life of Apollos. In verse 26, it says that he was speaking boldly. It says, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And the synagogue had a special place, and it had a special time set aside for guests to get up and to speak, to those that desired to minister. It might be as if in a church service today, we'd say, is there anyone that wants to testify? Is there anyone that wants to say something good about the Lord? It might be as if we had a guest minister come in who was just getting started to come in and give a message. That's the time that was set apart. And the ruler of the synagogue could invite those guests in and give them the floor for a little while. And this is what had happened to Apollos on this day. Apollos had boldly and grandly come in and professed what he knew about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. What he knew as much light as he had, he began to proclaim it boldly to the people there in the synagogue that day. And it was as he was teaching in the synagogue, as it was his turn, as he was given the pulpit, if you will, that Aquila and Priscilla had come in. A divine appointment by the Holy Spirit, amen? You see, there are no accidents in the Holy Spirit. You might think at some point in your life when you sit down in a church service that it's an accident, that the minister had just randomly decided to speak on that topic today. And the minister might not have known anything that's going on in your life. He might not have known your exact problem, but the Holy Spirit knew. The Holy Spirit knew exactly what you needed on that day. And the message on that day and in that time was exactly for you. You might have been driving down the road and you might have turned on a Christian telecast, a Christian broadcast, and someone was speaking through the speakers at you. And you know that they had no idea about you, but the Holy Spirit knew. You might have been up late at night, and you might have been thinking about something. You might have been going over something in your head. You might have had a terrible situation, and you flipped to a channel where a minister of the gospel was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that message was for you. Believer, do not discount what the Holy Spirit does. Do not simply set aside what the Holy Spirit has for us each Sunday, because the message has importance, and it's meant for us. And on this day, in the synagogue there, Apollos was having a divine appointment with the messengers of Jesus Christ, with the messengers of Aquila and Priscilla. You see, they heard him, and they heard what he had to say, and they saw potential. You see, they saw the potential. They knew that he had a heart. They had a something in common. They felt the Holy Spirit in his life and in their life. And they knew that something was going to happen. So they pulled him aside. They went, and maybe in my mind's eye, I see it. Apollos got done speaking. He came down, and the church service was over. The synagogue service was over. And they were shaking hands, and they were doing this, and whatever they did. And they took him aside, and they said, Brother Apollos, we heard what you said. We know that you said, we see it. We want to tell you more. You see, you've almost got it, but there's another step. There's something more grand, something more joyous, and something far greater than what you've said today that we want to share with you. See, and in my mind, that's how it played out. They took him in, and they explained to him the ways of God more accurately. You see, the Lord, he knew the hunger that was in Apollos' heart. He knows the hunger that's in our heart. He knows that when we yearn for something, he's going to provide a way. I remember in my own life, when I first heard the message of Jesus Christ, it it clicked in me, and I didn't have that much light. I knew what I'd been taught over the years, but I knew there was more. And the Holy Spirit began to put that hunger inside of me to know more, to know more. What is this message of the cross? How does Jesus Christ change things in my life for these specific things? And I'm sure many of you today in this audience and listening by CD and over, you've felt that in your spirit. That's no doubt what Apollos was feeling. He had a hunger in his heart. And the Holy Spirit arranged a divine appointment. The Holy Spirit, the one that controls things on this earth, the office administrator, if you will, the one that manages the things that happen, had a divine appointment for Brother Apollos on that day. And he sent two ministers of God to shed light, to give him more light, to set him on a true north path to Jesus Christ, to align him up with what Jesus Christ had. No doubt they instructed him in the ways of the Lord. No doubt they completed his knowledge of salvation by grace, the message of faith and grace. No doubt they told him about what water baptism was. No doubt they explained to him the Holy Spirit. No doubt they probably got together, and again, let me have a little freedom this morning. Maybe they went back to the house and they talked and they said, there's more to it. Apollos, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit working in your life. You need to have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he most undoubtedly received the Holy Spirit. You see, they brought to him the missing pieces. They brought to him the fire of God. They brought to him the message of faith and grace. They shared the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified with Apollos. How many presently desperately need to know the way of God more perfectly? We all need to know the way of God more perfect. As Apollos, they're saved, but they're not growing. They're not understanding God's grace and God's mercy. They're saved. They're going to heaven, but they have little scriptural knowledge to back up who Jesus is and what he's done. They're stuck in erroneous teaching. They're stuck in false teaching respecting Jesus Christ and who he is. They believe things that aren't true about water baptism. They believe things that are false about Jesus Christ. They're instructed in the ways of works and in the ways of wonders, and that the Holy Spirit should be used for something that it's not. They're taught a wrong manner because they're not trained in the scripture, because they're not shown the correct way. You see, Satan will do everything in his power, number one, to keep people from hearing this message of faith and grace, to keep people from hearing about Jesus Christ and him crucified. But number two, he'll do everything in his power to stop spiritual growth. You see, when a believer comes to Christ, Satan will begin to move harder and harder and faster on that believer because he doesn't want the message of faith and grace opened up to him. He doesn't want them to proceed and receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want them to know more about Jesus Christ. He wants to lead them on a different trail. He wants to set them on something different. And Satan will do everything in his power to set them on a way that they think is correct, but in all reality is not the way of Jesus Christ. And if we look around, we see it all over the place today. People that think that they're saved, that are going a different way. People that are saved but are miserably saved because they don't know the victory that Jesus won for them on the cross. If he can succeed at doing this, he knows that the little leaven that he plants, the little leaven that's rooted, will remain and will continue to enlarge. And he knows after that leaven begins to grow in that believer that sooner or later they'll either, number one, lose their faith, or number two, be so off base that they're so far away from God that what God really wanted, that they're not going to do anything for the kingdom of heaven. Believer, listen to me this morning. That's why it's so important. It's of the utmost importance that we understand Jesus Christ and him crucified. At the heart of everything we do, we might not understand the great doctrines of the Bible. You might not understand every page of the Bible, every story of the Bible, every spiritual aspect of the Bible, but that's why we have to understand Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just as a child would, we have to be able to explain it to those around us and know it in our heart and believe it in our mind. Just as Romans tells us, because that's what it's built upon. It's of the utmost importance that we stay on track, that we stay with Jesus Christ, that whatever we do, we place our faith in him. Because as soon as we step outside of that to one way or the other, as soon as we fall to something that is incorrect, Satan has us on a path to destruction. That's why it's so important that we come together on a weekly basis and we lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why it's so important that this message does not go out, that the light of this message does not get put out. You might come and say at some point, that's all we ever talk about. In my book, that's all there is to talk about. No matter what we come together and talk about, no matter what the topic of the sermon is, no matter what the character of the Bible is, no matter what the spiritual implications of the sermon are, we should always lead it back to Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's what it's built upon. And that's what Apollos was learning on this day. That's what he was learning. Despite all his education, despite all his eloquence of speaking, Apollos had a humble, he had a teachable heart. With it, he readily received God's messengers, Aquila and Priscilla. You see, that's what we need, a humble heart. We need to be able to be taught because we don't know everything. We need to be set that pride aside. And again, you've heard me make this statement before. I believe when you come to an understanding of Jesus Christ, that's the first thing he begins to whittle down in the heart and life of a believer, is that pride of life, that pride of who I am. That way we can be taught. You see, I believe there's a time in each believer's life, there's a time that we're set aside and he begins to teach us. He begins to help us learn. He begins to put us in line with who he is. That way when we hear, when we understand, we know it's his voice. We know it's our master's voice. That way, even though there might be a preacher in front of the pulpit in front of you, there might be a preacher on the radio or on TV, but yet you don't hear that preacher. You simply hear Jesus Christ or something else. That way in your mind, as soon as you begin to hear them speak, to hear them talk, you know it's Jesus Christ or you know it's something else. The Holy Spirit moving and operating in you, guiding you, teaching you, preparing you for something. Apollos, a Jew from Alexandria, he was an educated man. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in scripture. He was fervent in spirit. He had all the attributes that I believe that God was looking for a messenger of the gospel. But still, he could not take people any farther than he himself had already gone. See, he was stuck at a certain point. And that's where we have to realize we cannot take people any farther than our own understanding of Jesus Christ. That's why this message of the cross is so pertinent to us, that we understand who he is, that we understand what he's done, that we understand that he was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that he was accepted into heaven, and that we understand he did it all for mankind. Willingly, he gave a sacrifice. He shed his blood for our sin, that way we might have redemption. That way, when God looks at us, if our faith is properly placed, we might he will see us as Jesus. You see, it's so important. It's so simple, but it's so important. Notice what Aquila and Priscilla did, and notice what they did not. The verse says, they took him aside and explained to him the ways of God more accurately. Again, just as I said, they didn't do it in public. They didn't go in and they didn't embarrass him in public. They could have stood up in the synagogue and said, "You're not right, that's wrong." They could have got a bunch of people together and went after him. They could have done many different things, but no, they took him into their home and they loved him with the love of Christ, and they began to teach because they recognized what he had inside of him. They completed his theological picture, if you will, of the message of faith and grace. The Greek word there used is the way. Again, it's a definite article. The definition of way in the Greek used right there is a behavior in accordance with Christian principles and practice. The way. Not simply a way, but the way. Believer, it's up to us, the church, to teach the way of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not simply a way, but the way, the message of Jesus Christ, what he did, what he's done, what he's going to do in the heart and life of the believer. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified, or it's nothing at all. Maybe you didn't hear me this morning. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified or nothing at all. You see, we can't get up and simply have programs that do good things. We can't simply get up and talk about some topic and leave Jesus Christ out of the mix. We can't have a class in this church that talks about something, any subject, without coming back to Jesus Christ. We can't have a time of praise and worship together without recognizing that it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, that's what this message is built on. That's how victory is obtained, through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The verse also reveals the humble attitude that characterized this man Apollos. Although very cultured, well educated, you've met him, haven't you? The very cultured, the well educated. Very few times you find a humble spirit because they're educated. They've got letters behind their names. They've got initials and they've got titles in front of their names and they've got degrees hanging on their walls. They're not humble. They're prideful. But Apollos, remember, carrying a high education for his time, was humble. Was humble to the two tent makers. Remember who they were? They were tent makers. They made tents. They weren't educated. He was humble to them, and he sat at their feet, and he learned about Jesus Christ. He learned who Jesus was. He learned the message of faith and grace from simple tent makers, and he was able to take that and be humble and add it to his education. No doubt the Holy Spirit changed him during this time period. He was smart enough to know that he didn't know it all. And see, that's an important attribute, that we become smart enough to know that we don't know it all. You see, we're never going to know it all till we set foot before the foot of the Master, till we take our crowns and throw them at his feet. And at that point, I just don't know if we'll still know it all or not. We might be into eternity knowing who Jesus is, knowing the love that he has, knowing the price that he paid for our eternal life. But you know what? I'm going to take the little bit of light that I have. I'm going to take the message of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to ride it all the way to his footsteps. Amen. I'm going to stay true to it. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to stand in front of this little congregation each day, if it gets smaller or if it goes bigger. But you know what? The message is not going to change. The message is going to stay focused on Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. We as believers have to do that in our own lives. We have to, if you will, take an oath in our own life to not sway away from it. No matter what the eloquence of another speaker is, no matter how good the oratory is, no matter how good the show that they put on, no matter how big or how beautiful the church may be, no matter how large the choir or how big the band or how many pastors they have on staff or how many different programs they have in the church, we always have to look to, are they preaching the right message? Are they pointing you back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified? You see, that's what Apollos was being pointed to that day. The way of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible, it's complete. It's the true spoken word of God, and we have to take it for everything that it is. But our understanding of the Bible is far from complete. It's far from complete. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds on a daily, on a weekly basis, to tell us more so we can continuously learn. You see, it's not we just learn it and we're done. I believe the Holy Spirit continuously breathes into us as we go back and as we go back, as we draw closer to Him, what His Word tells us. D.L. Moody said, every time he heard Henry Drummond preach, he had to go home and burn some of his old sermons. And I gotta tell you, I feel like that sometimes. I feel like sometimes it's so clumsily put out that sometimes you just need to scrap it. But you know what? Usually someone will come up and say, that touched me. That really spoke to me. That got to me. You changed my belief system. You see, if we stay true, if we stay focused on Jesus Christ, He'll do the work. The Holy Spirit will do the work. No matter how clumsily, no matter how good, how bad the oratory, if we stay focused on Jesus Christ, He will do the work. Can you recall someone in your life, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a children's church teacher, a friend who challenged you to go further, who challenged you to step up to the plate and go further in Jesus Christ, to go further than you might have gone on your own. There's many people in my life that have done that. As I look past over my years, I see how God was moving. I see how God was operating. I see what he's done, and I'm excited about the future because I know he's got more of those moments in my life. But as I look back, one stands out to me. One person stands out to me who taught me a different kind of Christianity, a Christianity that wasn't about himself, a Christianity that wasn't about a denomination, a Christianity that wasn't about something in this world, but a Christianity that was about Jesus Christ and him crucified, a Christianity that pointed me exactly to the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And as I look back on that time in my life, as I look back on that period, I see what God was doing, and I see that it was a turning point, because before that time, I was stuck in a system. I was stuck in a denomination that all they wanted was works out of me. All they wanted me to do was to do something that I'd already did. All they wanted me to do was to get up on a stage and put on a show. That's what can I just be serious with you today? That's what they wanted. They wanted a show. I had my place, and I was to show up, and I was to do what they wanted me to do. They didn't see what God had in store, amen? They didn't see that just a few years later, there'd be a small body of believers that needed someone to get up and proclaim hallelujah. They didn't see that there was a small body that needed Jesus Christ proclaimed to them. They wanted a show. I'm here to tell you this morning, Crossway Community Church, it's not about the show. It's not about what man wants. It's about what Jesus Christ has got for us. And he's got that plan in each one of your lives. Give him a hand today. Each one of us has a plan that's been laid out before the foundation of the universe. Can you just grasp that for a moment? Each one of us, we might not even grasp it right now in 2014. We might not grasp what God's been doing in our lives, where he's been positioning us to, where he's been setting us up. You might come to this church today and you think, we're a small family body. You don't know what the fruit that's gonna bear out of this church. Amen. You might be sitting there today and you think, I'm insignificant. I come and I pay my tithe and I do what needs to be done and I support the church and I support. You don't know the impact that you're going to have. You see, I believe Aquilius and Priscilla, they didn't know the impact that they were gonna have. Apollos didn't know the impact that they were going to have. Who do you have in your life that gave you needed encouragement? Who do you have in your life right now that continues to breathe encouragement into you, to keep you on the track? Is there someone in your life whom you've noticed that has a gift that you need to breathe encouragement into? You see, that's what Priscilla and Aquilius saw. They saw a gift. They saw the gift of God working in Apollos, and they took him aside, and they completed that message to him. My message to you today is be the encourager. Be the Barnabas in that person's life. Share with them the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Share it in your own way, in your own words. Lead them back to the creator of the universe. Remember the question that Charles Swindoll asked at the beginning of the message. Be the one, maybe even the unknown one, that is an encourager, that empowers and encourages others to live for Jesus Christ, that encourages others to continue to keep their faith in Jesus Christ. You don't know, believer, the impact that you're having. You don't know what a few short words will do in the heart and life of somebody, in the heart and life of a believer that might be up against a brick wall, that they don't know where to go, in the heart and life of a believer that might think that they're unworthy to carry the message of Jesus Christ, in the heart and life of a believer that might be at the point where they're thinking about quitting. When life has come down on them, they're not sharing it with you. You don't know where they're at in that moment in time. But life has come down and they're at a decision point in their life. You don't know the words that can come out of you through the Holy Spirit that will empower them to continue to keep going, that will encourage them to continue in the walk that the Lord has set before them. You don't know the words and the empowerment that are in us as believers to encourage our brothers and sisters. You see, we're a family today, and families encourage one another, amen? Families help one another. Families are there for one another. It's our job as the body of Christ, the family of Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ, to be the encourager, to say what the Holy Spirit's given us, to help those to fully go on and do great things for the kingdom of God. Let me give you three steps this morning, three short steps to help empower someone. Number one, pray and ask the Lord to lead you to someone. If he's already led you to someone, amen. He's already done the first part. The first part's done. Number two, look for unrealized potential in people all around you. You see, I take joy in that. I love it on my job when I see someone that's untapped potential. You see someone that's got a gift, amen. And you see that gift and you wanna breathe into it. And you're not prideful. That gift might even be better than your own gift, amen. And you breathe into it. You see people in the kingdom that have a gift. Hey, would you like to sing on the praise and worship team? Hey, would you like to lead a Bible study? Hey, could you come up and could you pray over the service today? Could you do, and not putting them to work, no, but recognizing a gift and encouraging that gift. Encouraging that gift. You see, as I look back on my own life, and if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said that I was perfectly happy doing what I was doing. God was using me. I believe that his anointing was on me. I believe that the Holy Spirit was working. But I would have never in a million years thought that I'd been standing in front of you today giving you the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You never know the words that are going to help someone. Number three, take the time to make the investment. You see, making an investment, it's not just a one-time thing. Making an investment is small pieces over a long period of time. And those small pieces grow into something that you has untapped potential. Make the investment. Once the Holy Spirit opens up that door to you, once you see the potential, follow through. Make the effort. Make the investment to that person who needs that empowerment. And I'm going to hurry this morning. Verse 27 reads this, says this. And when he desired to cross into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He vigorously refuted the Jews, publicly showing from scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Apollos became a great help to those who believed. He refuted the Jews publicly. In the open, he did something that Paul could never do there. You see, God had a plan. And he proved the deity of Jesus Christ from scriptures. Apollos, one of the best communicators of his day, one of the most educated men of his day, became a great and mighty worker for the kingdom of God because of that small investment from those two devoted tent makers. Apollos had understood precious little, if anything at all, on his outset about Jesus Christ and the grace of God, the foundation of Christianity. However, upon receiving the doctrine through these tent makers, he would go on to be very proficient in the message of Jesus Christ. So much so that the great apostle Paul would go on to mention him several times. As a result of what he learned and considering his background, he went on to be a great blessing to those believers in Corinth. I think it's obvious the work that the Holy Spirit did here directed toward Apollos at this point in time and at this church, that he was a tremendous help. I think in our own lives, 2,000 years later, we can see how beautiful the Holy Spirit worked here at this time. I'd encourage you this morning to look for how the Holy Spirit's working right now. To look for how the Holy Spirit's working in your life and in those around you. I would encourage you to see how the Holy Spirit takes a perplexing problem and in such a short amount of time simply turns that problem around. Something that we can never figure out, something that we can never do on our own, the Holy Spirit does so easily without effort. He did this in Apollos, and he did it in our time. He's going to continue to do it until Jesus Christ returns. In closing this morning, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, verse 28 ends like this: "For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing by the scriptures that he was Jesus the Christ." Apollos proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. The encouragement from the Holy Spirit that began in Barnabas, that went to the Apostle Paul, that passed on to the tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla, and no doubt many more, had such an influence that it not only changed the hearts and lives of believers in Paul's day, it's come up to this very hour, to this very moment, to this very time where it's changing your heart and your life, where it's doing what only the Holy Spirit can do in this very hour, in this very moment. As we close today, don't underestimate the influence of the message of Jesus Christ that lives in you on another person. Don't underestimate the influence your faith in Jesus Christ can have on the heart and life of someone else. Don't miscalculate the power of the Holy Spirit to be not only the comforter, but the encourager in your life and in the lives around you. The message of Christ and them crucified has the power to change hearts and lives in the twinkling of an eye. Don't underestimate it, believer. Don't undervalue what you have. This message that has been given to us, the message of faith and grace, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the message of victory through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, don't devalue it. Don't undervalue it. Cling to it, believer. That's the message today. Cling to that old rugged cross. Cling to that cross where Jesus Christ's blood was shed. Cling to that cross where all knowledge is found, where all wounds are healed, where everything that we need on this planet at this time is found. As we close, Lord Jesus, again, Lord, I'm so humbled by what you've given to us. I'm so humbled that every time we come together, the power of the Holy Spirit falls in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm so humbled at the people that would come and hear your message, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray over them today that they would go and continue to spread this gospel, that they would touch those around them, that they would be the encourager, Lord Jesus, that they would provide the victory, that they would lead those who need you to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would grow this body in spirit, that you would grow us in numbers, Lord Jesus, not because of who we are, Lord. That's not our desire. Not because of the person that sings the songs or the person that leads the prayer or the person that preaches the message, Lord Jesus, but because we have Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. Because we have you, because we place you at the center of everything. And as we leave today, Lord Jesus, I would be the encourager to the people, Lord, in this audience and listening by CD and by the internet. Go and take the message of the cross. Continue the message that Jesus Christ has given us to this world. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. And you are dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Again, it's been a great pleasure and a joy to be with you. Hallelujah.